السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. حضور سیز دیٹ دی پرومس مسایا علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام فالوئنگ دی ایگزامپل آف دی ہولی پروفٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ہز ماسٹر and the position that he attained through that is very clear to all Ahmadis. As I mentioned in my last previous sermon, with reference to the attribute of Al-Kafi, of Allah Almighty, that in love and devotion, because of this high station of love and devotion, which the promised Messiah, Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, had for the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he became extremely beloved of Allah Almighty, and many of his revelations, which are in Arabic, Urdu, and Persian, they clearly are the proof of the fact. And some parts of the verses of the Holy Quran, as I mentioned one in my last sermon, they were given to him through revelation. And every new day that dawns upon Ahmadiyya Jamaat, that is a proof of the fact that these revelations, they were very true, and his claim was absolutely right and correct. The one who attributes a lie, falsehood to Allah Almighty, and particularly the claim of prophethood, if it is attributed to Allah Almighty, cannot be spared. Allah Almighty has mentioned this principle himself in the Holy Quran, as in Surah Al-Haqqa, in the verses Allah Almighty says, وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْضَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ ثُمَّ لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينَ فَمَا مِنْكُم مِّنْ أَحَدٍ عَنْهُ حَاجِزِينَ. That is to say that if he fabricates a lie and attributes to us, if he had done so, then we would have caught hold of him with our right hand, and then certainly we would have cut his jugular vein, and no one from among you would have been able to save and protect him from our hand. So therefore, this is a standard in principle that anybody who attributes anything to Allah Almighty, which Allah Almighty has himself mentioned. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam also, he has presented this criterion as the true standard of his truth. He says that for a truthful person, Allah Almighty has also given another sign, and that sign is that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was said that if you attribute a lie to me, then I will catch hold of you with my right hand. And the fabricator does not succeed, and rather he is annihilated and is destroyed. Now the promised Messiah says that 25 years ago have passed by and I have been attributing this claim to Allah. If this had been a lie, then in penalty of that, was it not necessary that Allah Almighty should have fulfilled his promise? Instead of catching hold of me, he has actually shown hundreds of hundreds of signs in my favor. Is this the treatment with the liars? And those people who are liars and fabricators, are they given rewarded like that? Is there any other example in the history? And I say it with full conviction that you won't be able to present any example of that nature. And then he says, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded that if you attribute a single lie to me, then I am going to cut your jugular vein. As it is mentioned in that verse, لَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْزَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ ثُمَّ لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينِ. And here, for the last 24 years, every day a new lie is attributed to Allah, and Allah Almighty should not have used according to his set precedent. And the liar is never given this opportunity and respite. And has it become my nature that for 24 years I am telling a lie and I am continuously walking on this path and Allah Almighty is completely silent? And as opposed to that one, he is constantly, regularly assisting and helping me. So this is not steadfastness is given to the friends of Allah Almighty, and it is given to those people who really enjoy a very high station in the presence of Allah. And if somebody attributes a lie to Allah Almighty, then he will be destroyed. Why is it so that only it is specified to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why is it that if he attributes a lie, then he should be caught, and if somebody else does, then Allah Almighty does not care for that? God forbid there will be no guarantee of faith at all. So, and there is no distinction between a truthful person and a liar in that case. Those who are criticizing the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, they always say that they were only attributed to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they do not apply to other people. This he has explained, that if it was only for Allah to catch hold of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and other people may attribute any lie they like to Allah Almighty, and there is no punishment for those people. This Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam has set the standard for him that he is from Allah Almighty because of this standard, and this standard has been established by Allah Almighty. So therefore, Huzur says that on this standard and criterion, every person should be judged on that one. Aswad Ansi or Musalma Kazab, the end of that is recorded in the world history. Still, the Muslims, these Muslims will continue in their rejection of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, when from the word of Allah Almighty, at least those people should abstain from mocking at the word of Allah Almighty, those who call themselves believers. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, those people who believed and then claimed the belief, and then they do not want to understand this word of Allah Almighty, and nor they let the people understand that, And after making this claim, after that, they claim as if they have fully understood it. And they have understood the intricate details of that. But still they do not understand it properly, and nor let the people understand that. At one stage, referring it to the biblical reference that the liar is killed, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says that this point clearly indicates that all the holy words of Allah, they are unanimous on this point, that a false claimant of prophethood is killed. And then a page opposed to that, to mention that Akbar king claimed, or any other person claimed, then he did not, he was not killed. This is another folly. But if this is true, that these people, they claimed to be the prophets, and they did not, they were not killed up to 23 years, then the claim of these people should have been verified and established on the basis of their specific writing, and their revelation should be presented, which they say they have received from God Almighty. And they would have said that in so many words, Allah Almighty has revealed to me and made me the prophet. The exact wording of the revelation with full proof should be presented. And it is very essential that, and there is a clear proof of the revelation that is, that comes to me. He says that first of all, these people have to give this proof that what is that wording of revelation which these people have claimed, in which the claim of prophethood is mentioned. And after that, he should have given the proof, that for 23 years the revelation continued coming to him. And what is that? And all this revelation which is based on his claim of prophethood should be presented before the people, so that it should be clearly established that this revelation continued to descend upon him for the last 23 years. And this is the word of Allah. And as a collective book, it should have been published just like the Holy Quran, with this claim that this is the revelation which I have received. Unless this proof is not there, then just to attack like the faithless people and laughing and mocking at the Holy Quran is only the doings of these mischievous people. And these are the people who simply utter the statements from their mouth. So the Muslims should consider this point, and they should ponder over this point. This is actually the standard which is which makes a distinction between a truthful person and a liar and a fabricator. At one point, with great majesty, he mentions about the assistance of Allah Almighty, and Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says at one point, he says that please remember, previously he mentioned about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after that he mentioned about himself. He said, yes, remember it, that there are five occasions which were extremely critical for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which it was very difficult to be spared. And if the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not been the true prophet of Allah Almighty, he would have been destroyed at that time. He would have been killed. One such occasion was that when these enemies, they encircled his house and they swore firmly that they are going to kill him. And the second occasion was when these people, they came in large number, and then he was taking the refuge in the cave along with Hazrat Abu Bakr. And the third was the occasion of Uhud, when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alone, and these non-believers, they came around him and they fought very severely, but they could not kill him. That was also a miracle. And the fourth occasion was that when a Jewish lady poisoned the food, and that poison was very, very strong and very killing, but Allah Almighty, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told about that, and he was safeguarded. And the fifth was when Khusro Pervez, the king of Persia, he in order to get the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam killed, he intended for that, and for that purpose his soldiers were sent, and it was very clear that it is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out successfully and safely out of all these things. That is a great proof and a great argument of the fact that he was truly from Allah Almighty and he was a truthful prophet. And after that he says, he further explaining this very point regarding himself, that how Allah Almighty has been helping him and supporting him, that he says that it's very strange that for me as well there were 5 occasions in which the honor and life was extremely in dangerous condition. Very critical situation was there. First one was then when Dr. Martin Clark brought the litigation against me. And second was when Deputy Commissioner Gurdaspur in his court, the legal was case was taken against him. And the third was the legal case which was taken up in Jhelum. And the fourth was which was brought by Karamdeen. And the fifth was that at the death of Lekram, when they searched my home, and the enemies did their best, whatever they could, to establish that I am a killer and that could be established. And all these things, they were frustrated and they were absolutely unsuccessful in that. So now one should see that they, in obedience, in following my Aka, my leader, my master, my claim of Masihiyat and Mahdaviyat, that I am Messiah and Mahdi, the support of that is given by Allah Almighty. And this similarity is also there. And there is a similarity, although the grace and the honor of the master is much higher and greater. But for a true servant, because of this obedience and servitude, Allah Almighty has blessed him greatly. And I'm going to mention some other examples. Last time I said there was no time, but I'm going to mention briefly some of these examples. This question, this incident of the Dr. Martin Clark, that is a very famous incident in the history of Jamaat. When this litigation was brought against him in the Christians, Hindus and Christians, all these people, they joined hand against him. It's a long detail how Allah Almighty absolved him from this allegation. But how Allah Almighty deals with those people who are the mocking at him, in that that example is I present from this case. How Allah Almighty dealt with these people who brought this false litigation against him. In the wording of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that in fact Allah Almighty is great and powerful. And those people who submit to Allah Almighty with love and affection, they are never destroyed. The enemy says that through our planning, we are going to kill him and destroy him. And bad intention people, they always try to harm him. But Allah Almighty says, "O foolish, are you going to fight with me? Are you going to disgrace the one who is my beloved? Actually, nothing can be done on this earth unless it is not decreed in the heaven. And no hand in the earth could be longer than the hand which is extended towards heaven." And then further detail of that, the same case he has mentioned, he says that how Allah Almighty he penalized the person who mocked at him. And he says that when I went to the court of the deputy commissioner in this case, and I was presented there, then there was a seat reserved for him. And when I entered, then the judge indicated to me that I should occupy that chair. At that point, Muhammad Hassan Batalvi and several hundred people who had gathered there to see my disgrace, they were surprised that this day is considered to be the day of his disgrace. But he is being offered the seat to sit with great honor and respect. At that point, I was thinking that this is a great torture for my enemies and opponents, that they came to see my disgrace, but they are saying my honor in the court. But Allah Almighty actually wanted that they should be further disgraced. And it so happened that the leader of this group, Muhammad Hussain Batalvi, who attacked my life and my honor so many times, and he came to give his witness in favor of Dr. Martin Clark, But Allah Almighty made it clear that He is the one who arranged Abdul Hamid to give the verdict against the promised Messiah. And when this proceeding started, and Dr. Clark requested the court that this is a great leader of the Muslims, he should be given a seat and chair to sit, but that was rejected. But Muhammad Hussain Batalvi did not know about that, that this question has already been mentioned, and that has been rejected already. So therefore, when he came for offering his witness into the courtroom, then as the worldly mullahs, because they are very fond of worldly honor, so he immediately asked for a chair from Deputy Commissioner. And the judge said that you are not granted a chair in the court, so therefore we don't do it. It will not be given to you. And he said, then he insisted that I am given this chair, and my father used to also get the chair like that. But the judge said that you are a liar. Neither the chair is given to you nor to your father. And there is no such instruction with us to give you the chair. And then Muhammad Hussain Batalvi said that the rulers, they always give me. And he said he was extremely angry to hear. And he said, don't use this foul language. And don't utter these lies. Move away and go away. And that was such a disgrace that he was just like a dead person there. And he was so much disgraced that I do not have any example in my mind throughout my life. And he was dumbfounded. He became silenced and he retreated with disgrace and stood upright. And first he was inclined to the table. Then I remembered this revelation of Allah, Inni muhinun man arada ihanataka, that I am going to disgrace that person who is intending to disgrace you. These are the words of Allah, and blessed are those who believe in that. And then there is also a revelation which says, Inna kafana kal mustazeen, that we are sufficient for these people who are mocking at you. And the people who wanted to disgrace the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and those who wanted to see his disgrace, the disgrace of the promised Messiah after this litigation, and he was looking for such an opportunity, he became the witness, a victim of this disgrace himself. This is actually how Allah Almighty has shown his grace and honor. And there is also another incident in the life of the promised Messiah when Brahin Ahmadiyya was published, and he wrote letters to various people to help. So then Nawab Siddiq Hasan Khan, who was a great scholar, he was also written a letter. He lived in Bhopal. And these religious knowledge he had acquired this knowledge from the scholars of Islam in India, and he made the progress and attained a very respectable, dignified position. And then Shah Jahan Begum, the ruler of the state, he got married to her. And in a way, he became the controller and the ruler of the whole state. The British government in those days, and Nawab Wala Jah, and so many other titles were given to him as a respect and honor. He belonged to Ahle Hadith group of Islam. And all these titles, despite all this affluence and richness, he was serving through written material, through books, whatever knowledge he had, he used to serve the cause of Islam. And Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam considered him to be a pious man. So when the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, he wrote Brahin Ahmadiyya, the first part of it, then he wrote to several people to help for the purchase of the book so that more copies could be published, further editions. And he was also written a letter. First of all, just as a matter of courtesy, he wrote that we would purchase certain books, then he kept quiet. But when the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, gave him a reminder, then he replied that buying such books of religious debates or to give some help is against the mission of the British government, so therefore you should not expect any help from me. And now this allegation is said that Ahmadiyyat has been planted by Ahmadiyyat. And this is a great alim, example is there, that in order to, he is not purchasing the book in order to please the British government, which was actually written in defense of Islam. Anyway, Hafiz Ahmad Ali Sahib says that that when the packet was sent to him along with a letter, then he returned that packet of books and returned it in such a way that he opened it and tore the book and then sent it back. When this condition of the book was seen by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, then his face turned in anger and became red. And then he spontaneously said, okay, that you try to please your own government. And then he prayed that Allah Almighty should tear off his honor, shatter his honor. And then he said, so we also don't put any hope in him, but the ultimate hope is all with Allah Almighty, with the gracious Allah, and he is sufficient for us. And may this government be happy with this person. And then he wrote a letter, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salam wrote a letter to one of his companion, and he said that in the beginning when this book, Brahin Ahmadiyya, was printed, then in Islamic states, I wrote letter to various states, and I had written, even the books were sent along with that. So only Nawab Ibrahim Sahib and Nawab Malir Kotla, and one other leader, and the Junagadh leader, they gave some help, and other people do not pay any attention. And if they promised, but they did not fulfill that. And Nawab Sadiq Hasan Khan, and he wrote a very opposing letter, and he said that you should not expect any help from. Don't expect any help from me. He wrote, Allah Almighty accepted the prayer of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, that soon after that, how this his honor was shattered and torn into pieces. And the same government put certain allegations upon him, and a commission for investigation was established. They came to this conclusion that he has prompted the people to rebel against the British government, and some other allegations were there. Drawn from him. So much so that the Muslims who considered him a great scholar and used to honor him, they also said to the British government that this treatment should be given, meted out to him. So this was what happened to his honor and grace. And when he was very utterly compelled, then he contacted the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam through various means and requested his prayers. And then he got the revelation that his honor was saved from total annihilation. But one of the enemy of the promised Messiah wrote that wrote to him that you claim that Allah Almighty listens to you to your prayer. Now this Nawab Sadiq Hasan Khan is utterly in disgrace at this time. Why don't you pray for him so that Allah Almighty may save him from the wrath? And the promised Messiah said that that is a different thing. But then he prayed. And as a result of his prayer, Allah Almighty restored his honor to some extent through the prayer of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. And Munshi Ilahi Bakhsh, accountant, was another example. In the beginning, he was among the great admirers of the promised Messiah. And so much so that he used to take it honor to press his feet. But later on he turned to be the opponent. And very foul language he used to use against the promised Messiah. And then he started saying that the revelations of the Mirza Sahib are false. And regarding his own revelations, which he said he has, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salam did not publish the revelations about him. He did not publish it so that it may not become the cause of any litigation. But Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salam assured him that don't worry, whatever revelation you have against me, then you are allowed to publish that. I am not going to take any matter to the court against you. And he said that as I am looking for the divine decision, and so that the people may be able to recognize the person whose person is beneficial for them, and so that people could also recognize that person who actually is the Imam appointed by Allah Almighty. And how the people still do not know who is that, Allah Almighty knows only very well, are those people who have been given the wisdom from Allah Almighty. Therefore, we have made the arrangement that Babu Sahib should, which he receives against me, he should publish all. And if these revelations are from Allah Almighty, and which he has received about me, and then they will show the truth, as a matter of fact, in the end. If they are true, then there will be some trouble coming upon me, some destruction, and the whole nation will be saved and spared from a fabricator and a liar. And if they believe, as they say, that I have spoken a lie regarding Allah, then I will be destroyed. And if there is the decision of Allah Almighty from Allah which is against that, then that will become very manifest. And Allah Almighty, in his knowledge, perfect knowledge, if he knows that I am the promised Messiah, then Allah Almighty will give the witness. And I am sure that I assure you that I will not taking you to the court, and I will not insult you, not take any matter against you. I will simply want to have this matter decided by Allah Almighty. And if this is a false allegation against me, that Allah Almighty should absolve me, and to show the falsehood of this Babu Sahib, he should show some sign. And this is exactly in line with the desire of some previous prophets. At that, Munshi Lahi Bakhsh, accountant, he wrote a book comprising 400 pages, in which he mentioned his revelations. He mentioned some of them are like this. He wrote that Tere Salaam Hai, you have got the peace and you are going to dominate. And wrath will descend upon the promised Messiah, and he will definitely be destroyed. And then, as thousands of opponents say, then the promised Messiah will be killed, and destruction will come descend upon him, and he will be inflicted by plague, and Allah Almighty will disgrace him. And he says that the job which has been assigned to me, until it is fulfilled, I will not die. These are the revelations of this Lahi Bakhsh accountant. This book which he wrote was Asai Musa. It was a great challenge. He sent to the promised Messiah and sent it to him. And what was the result of that? That not a single revelation which he presented as a standard was not fulfilled at all. And he himself participated in the funeral prayer of his friend, and he got the plague, and he himself died with the in 1907 he died as a result of plague. And people, they wrote that this writer of Asai Musa has died of plague. And 11 years this plague was there, And the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and his family members, they were all protected and saved by the grace of Allah. And we are saying today that by the grace of Allah, the Jamaat of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, with the grace and mercy of Allah Almighty, it has gone to millions all over the world. And there is no one who knows these people. And his family members, his cousins, Nizamuddin and Imamuddin, they also in his enmity, in the enmity of Islam, they used to, they had joined hands with Hindus, and regarding the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very foul language, very bad language was being used, and they also invited Lake Ram and hosted for him. And they left no stone unturned to put hardship upon the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. When the members of the Jamaat used to come to see the promised Messiah, they used to stop their way and they set up a wall to block their way to go to the promised Messiah. And it was really very heartsome. And they were quite adamant and very strong and bad in their dealings. And this is the only one case which the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam ever took to the court. And that was only for this purpose, that the members of the Jamaat should not face any hardship. And he very sincerely prayed for that. Then Allah Almighty revealed to him in Arabic, the translation of that is, that the grinding mill will move and Allah's decree will descend. And this is the promise given by Allah Almighty, and no one can reject this one. That this I swear in the name of Allah that this is the truth, and there nothing will be changed, and this will neither be kept hidden. And one thing will be created which will surprise you. This is the revelation of Allah Almighty, who is the Lord of heaven. My Lord is on the right path, and he is always on that. And he, the one who opposes my beloved people, never forgets his chosen people. So in this case, you will be given an open victory. And there is a delay until that time, which is fixed by Allah Almighty. And at the end, all these advocates and pleader lawyers, they worked very hard. But at the end, there was a paper was found as a result of which the decision was taken in favor of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that wall was demolished. And it is also to be noted that when the judge permitted the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he can put up a counter case against them and ask for penalty and all require all the expenses to be paid to him, Hazrat Masih Maud, alayhi salatu wasalam, did not do so. But the lawyer on his behalf presented the case, and when the notice was received, and the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, came to know about that, on that day the promised Messiah was outside Qadian when the notice was received. Then Mirza Imamuddin had died by that time. Mirza Nizamuddin received it, and he was very much upset. And as it was mentioned in the revelation, everything was finished for them. 143 rupees, and that penalty was perhaps was asked to be paid. And it was not possible for him to pay that. So at that time, he mentioned this point to the promised Messiah, that requested that please take some care of us, at least we are your relatives. And the promised Messiah said, I did not initiate anything. And then he gave in writing that although these people are against my honor and strongly opposed to me, and they are intending to disgrace me, but now that the case has been decided in my favor, that we have achieved the objective and we have got this free passage, so therefore no revenge will be taken from them. So this was his noble character and his example. Anyway, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says that it is very sad that and my opponents, despite all this disgrace, they did not realize that there is a hand, hidden hand, which is working in support of this man and who protects all the time. If this had not been there, then this is a miracle for them, that after every attack of them, Allah Almighty saved. And not only this much, but Allah Almighty revealed to him beforehand that this will be like that. And this is very strange. Anybody can understand the secret, that according to these people, the false and fabricator is mine, and Allah Almighty has helped me. Is it possible that Allah Almighty should be making any mistake? Why these people are being penalized by God, and disgrace and dishonor is their lot? And despite there were some problems from the opponents, and they tried their best that the people should not be coming. So much so that they got the verdict against me from Mecca. And 200 people, mullahs, they signed on the document and they published all these documents. But despite all their efforts, they were frustrated. If this has been something done by human being, by a human, then whatever the effort they may have made, but there was no need of that. Allah Almighty was good enough to kill me in that case if I had been a liar. So he had full support and dependence upon Allah Almighty, full trust in Allah Almighty. And he had full and complete trust. And this is always the case of all the prophets, that he never ever thought that Allah Almighty is not going to help me. He never ever thought of that. But of course, the prayer is essential and necessary, that he always did. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says in one place that an Arab wrote him a letter. It was mentioned there that if you give me 1,000 rupees and you appoint me your attorney here, then I am going to propagate your mission here. You send me the money and appoint me your representative, and I will be propagating your message here. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam said that you write to him that we do not need of any wakil or attorney. There is only one attorney who is spreading our message for last 20 years or so. And after that, do we need any other attorney or helper? He has already given us the promise, Alaysallahu bikafin abdu, is not Allah sufficient for his servant? And some of our friends who are very, very devoted in religious matters, sometime because of being human, they have criticized upon us that if these are the people who are so much opposed, then why to publish such a book which is so costly, that we then submit to you that that if we had not written this book, which has made this book a very bulky book, then this book would not have been useful for people. And regarding this thing, that where from I am going to get the money, nobody should be afraid of that or put fear in our heart. Because we have got full trust in Allah Almighty, who is mighty. And we have trust in him more than that, what these rich people and miserly people have on the wealth which they possess in their treasures. So Allah Almighty, might and the Almighty God, he is going to help his servant. He will help his servant. In Alam ta'lam anna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadeer, don't you know that Allah Almighty, the Powerful, is able to do whatever He likes? These are few examples which I mentioned. There are so many other examples like that in the history of Ahmadiyyat. Even after His demise, Allah Almighty, whenever the Jamaat, there was any conspiracy or plan hatched against the Jamaat, Allah Almighty always protected the Jamaat from its ill consequences. And this Jamaat, which was established by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, it has been progressing in all countries of the world, despite the opposition. In some countries, restrictions imposed by the governments as well, by the grace of Allah, His community is progressing and spreading, despite the meager resources or the lack of resources. In this age, when the people see that resources are less, they cannot even tolerate this, that how one can do without the resources. If they look at the budget of the Jamaat, that the total budget of the Jamaat that may be less than some of the very rich people of the world. It may be less than their 1 year's income of some rich people. But Allah Almighty has blessed those resources which Allah Almighty has given to us. He has blessed us so much and He has increased so much that they are seen as very big resources to the worldly people. And whenever the worldly people, you talk to them, they always believe that Jamaat financially is very, very strong and well established. And they have got plenty of wealth. By the grace of Allah, it is very strong, because its wealth is spent on the right cause and in the right way. I remember that in the last tour, I met the president of Benin, and they are very fond of investment in his country, and he was very fond of that. So maybe from this very point he met me. So the very first question he asked me, that how many million dollars you are going to invest in this country. So these are the thinking of these people. But actually it is the hand of Allah which is with us. And every work and every effort that we do, Allah Almighty is always suffices us. And this is the sign of that living Allah, living God of Islam, that we are witnessing every day and every time, and everybody feels it, and even the worldly people, they also recognize this thing. This is the master of heaven and earth, that when he sends his people for the propagation of his message, then he gives them all the assurance and satisfaction. And in every matter, he announces that Alaysallahu bikafin abdahu, that wherever the difficulty is there, then I am going to remove all these difficulties for you. And even those enemies, those who are laughing and mocking at these beloveds of Allah and want to make them the tarnish of their criticism, for them Allah Almighty says that he consoles though his beloved one, that inna kafainaka al-mustazeen, that we are sufficient to deal with these people who are mocking at you. And then Allah Almighty declares, wallahu alamu bi'adaikum wa kafa billahi waliyam wa kafa billahi nasira, that Allah knows your enemies very well, and Allah Almighty as your friend is sufficient for you, and Allah Almighty is well sufficient as a helper. So these are the manifestations of living God, living Allah, and the support of Allah, and the signs, which are at each and every moment, we are able to witness that. And may it be like that we are able to do full justice to these blessings of Allah Almighty, and we continue to see these blessings. Here I would like to clarify one thing more, that in the last sermon, regarding the mention of Baha'u'llah, I said that a claimant of prophethood rose. Actually, it should have been said that a claimant rose. If his claim of prophethood is to be there, then the assistance from Allah Almighty was not there. But so far as in Baha'i literature or among the Baha'is, there is no claim that he was a prophet at all, then it is also not right, because there are some people from his children who say that he was a prophet or Qutb or Waliullah, and he did not claim to prophethood. But actually the fact of the matter is that the very Sharia of Baha'u'llah, which was not published and has not been open, in that it is the claim of his divine godhood is mentioned there. But the mention was made in this way, that even if his claim to prophethood is mentioned, then the divine help was not there. Because sometime the Ahmadis are connected and bracketed together with Ahmadis, with Baha'is, and it is said there. So on one side, the help of Allah was with the promised Messiah, salatu wasalam, and there is no help of Allah with the Baha'i people. And the true literature of the Baha'is, if that is traced, then he wrote a book, The Sharia Al-Aqdas is the name. In that he has mentioned very clear as the claimant of godhood. So therefore it is not a question of prophethood, but those people who say that he was a prophet, and even then, whatever case may be, whatever claim is taken, but there is no proof. Because those people who are who are not knowledgeable, they are sometimes deceived by these people in Pakistan as well, in America as well. So I would like to mention some hard facts about it. So it should be remembered all the time that the claim of Baha'u'llah himself was of being God, not of a prophet, as the literature which has made it very clear. And his son, who was made his deputy and his successor, he also believed him to be the claimant of godhood. Anyway, they have got a special way. Those who are ignorant or do not know them very well, or those who just, there are some people who want to involve other people in a way that when these people try to involve other people into their to their side, then they present the same Sharia which Baha'u'llah claimed that it has been revealed to him, that the one who revealed the law, that is God, the one who received the law, that is also God. So as if he revealed the same thing upon himself. Because there are some people, and Maulana Abul Ata Sahib, who was in Palestine, he has mentioned that I have seen that one of his son, he used to come to offer the five daily prayers. While according to them, offering of the five daily prayer, the prayer in congregation is not obligatory. And there is no need of five prayers. So three prayers is good. Then to get the support and help of Christians, they believe that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was the manifestation of God, and as such he was son of God. And similarly, Baha'u'llah was also the manifestation of God. And he said that he was God personified, and he came as such. And then one of their teaching is, in his own word, in their own wording, just look at the condition that see at the condition he claims to be God, and then he says that I am in prison. He stayed in prison for a long time. I am the master of heaven, and there is no God beside me. And he was sitting in the Sijan, and he was in the prison, and he was God at the same time, and there is no God beside me. And he says that after the death, and I will be there to help the God who was in prison, who was did not have any power, and who is going to die, and he will continue to help even after death. How can he help other people who cannot even set him free from prison? How can he help other people? And how he is going to deliver the people, other people, from the prison, and how he is going to help other people in any way? Then Abdul Baha, who was his successor, special successor, he says, when their number is mentioned there, they always very unclear answer, ambiguous answer they always gave. And they say sometimes there are Christian Baha'i, Muslim Baha'i, or Hindu Baha'i, like that. So that is to say that you can go to any religion, but still you can be Baha'i. And their effort is, their technique is, or their trick is, that you just try to win these people to your side, and then bring actually the matter later on and make it clear that now you are only Baha'i. And this is also a strange claim of prophethood, godhood, that he says that I send you this message, you convey the message to the people. Allah Almighty sent the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and conveyed this message to the whole of mankind. And then when his deputy and his great lover, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, was sent, the message was it should be conveyed to the whole world. And he says, look at the case of Abdul Baha, that this message should not be conveyed. The Baha'i have written themselves that the message should not be conveyed. Baha'u'llah considers preaching in those countries as unlawful. You should keep quiet for some time, and if somebody asks a question, then just show as if you do not know anything. In Palestine, they do it like that. And then after that, according to the nature and the temperament of the person, you preach to them. As I said, that a Masih is Baha'i, Christian is Baha'i, and a Muslim is Baha'i. As Muslim Maud, when he came here, then a Christian lady, along with some Christian Irani friend who converted to Baha'i, she came. Then he says that I asked her that the Quran is a complete law. What is the new law which Baha'u'llah has brought? Then she said that the question, she brought up the question of four marriages. Baha'u'llah has said that there is only one marriage, and while in Islam there are four. But Baha'u'llah himself married twice, and some people say that he got married three times. So then she said that no, it is not like that. This was before he made the claim. But then Muslim Maud said that this is a strange God who doesn't know that after my claim what Sharia I have to make. And after that his son got married twice. And he asked the Iranian friend that was it so, and he agreed that this was like that. And then the lady said that the other wife you are talking about, that she took that as her sister. And then Hazrat Muslim said that if that was taken as sister, why was it that she also bore some children from him, from both of them? So how is it there? Then the whole people, they laughed at that. So one has to be very careful about that. They very secretly, they try to attack the teachings of Islam. And regarding their Sharia, they say that it was not, it should not be published, and it is hidden. But actually, the instruction was there that don't disclose the Sharia to the people. So Allah Almighty, regarding the prophets, He says that when they make a false claim regarding me and attribute themselves to them, then I always take hold of these people, capture them, and kill them. But those people who make the claimant of divinehood, Allah Almighty has not mentioned about them that I am going to catch hold of them. Allah Almighty says that those people, whosoever would say that I am a God beside God, then we will put that person into hell. And this is how we revenge the untrue people. Untrue people are rewarded, punished by like that. So Allah Almighty, while He shows His support for the true prophets, and those people who are false claimants, Allah Almighty captures those people. He disgraces them in this life. And those people who are claimant of godhood, are the claimant of prophethood in a false way, then for them, Allah Almighty has kept this hell for them as a punishment. Allah Almighty, make us a true believer in the unity of Allah. And Allah Almighty should grant us, always envelop us in His grace and mercy, and make us those people who are getting closeness and nearness to Allah Almighty.
Alhamdulillah, Nahmadu, wa nasta'inu, wa nasta'inu. نستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر